it's been, I just looked at my calendar and it has been 2 weeks, 2 weeks since I sent out a bumper podcast. I am so sorry. Here in the middle of summer, you're just sitting there at the beach like, what am I doing with myself? There's nothing to listen to. Well, I'm back and I apologize. And how does that happen? Well, I like to record the bumper podcast and it's one of my favorite things to do. And then I realized what happened was, in the last couple of weeks, I recorded a lot of other people's podcasts. I did a couple of episodes of The Dumb Fellas, which is one of my podcasts with my pals, that is not as sweet and family-friendly as this podcast, just as a warning. And then I recorded two episodes of another podcast called Girls Gone Green, and that's with two amazing comedians, Tracy Locke and Donna V. And that was a really big blast. It was so much fun. It was so nice to hang out with them. And then I recorded one more podcast with, what is it called? The Decomposition Podcast. And that's a cool podcast where they take a song. And so it's supposed to be like a guilty pleasure kind of bad song, so bad that it's good type of thing. But we did an amazing song. We did a phenomenal song. We did a song called The Humpty Dance by the Digital Underground. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Amazing. And we recorded it this week, and at the end of it, they were just like, that was the longest episode we've ever done. Because you know what? Bumper Car likes to talk. And especially, I had notes. I had 5 whole pages of notes because I was so excited about doing this song. And I went down this cool rabbit hole where I was like, where does this come from? Who said that? What's the etymology of this thing? So it was a blast. But anyway, I apologize that I haven't been talking to you from here, but I've been talking to you from a lot of other places. So, hi, how have you been? Me, I'm great. It's August! Ah! It might be August 2nd. I have no idea. How did that happen? Where did my summer go? Well, let me tell you something really cool that happened that I don't think I told you about. I think the last episode was me lamenting about my birthday and the lack thereof. Hey, people, I want to put this point to you again. If someone in your life has a birthday, you don't have to make the huge deal out of it. You don't have to get a blimp. You don't have to get a clown with flowers to come to the door. Whatever, but like, make a deal of it. It's important. It's very important, and it's downright mean to not do anything about it. Anyway, and if someone says, "Hey, you don't have to do anything for my birthday," that doesn't mean don't do anything. That means you don't have to go, buy me some extravagant thing or go, really put yourself out. But you know what you still do? You still acknowledge it. Anyway, so. I had a birthday show. I had a show where I got to close at Tierney's Tavern, which is where I am most Sunday nights. It's where I've been doing comedy for pretty much 8 years. And if I'm not there hosting, I'm on the show. And on whatever day it was, I actually got to close the show. Now, here's an important distinction. If you do stand-up comedy, I was the last one on the show. Some people would be like, oh, you headline the show? No, I am not a headliner yet. I understand that and I appreciate that. In the pecking order of comedy, headliner is a very important distinction. And I don't really know when that gets bestowed upon you, but I know that I'm not there yet. I know I have years to go before I'll be a headliner, and I'm fine with that. But I did close the show, which means I got to do a nice 25 minutes at the end of the show, and I had a blast. Now, I also tried to do a little bit too much that night. I tried to take on too much. We got there at like 5 o'clock, set the room up, and then recorded 2 episodes of The Dumb Fellas. And then from there, finished setting the room up, and then had to kind of just deal with the production of the show, basically. And I wish, that I could have just been hanging out in a room and having sips of tea or whatever. But I think my brain got kind of overwhelmed. And so a weird thing happened where I was super excited about this night. I was super, super, super excited about it. And then my brain got so wrapped up in doing so much other stuff that, I mean, I enjoyed it. I had a blast. I had a lot of fun. But I think that there was definitely a division between the fun and my brain, that it wasn't just like, I'm just having fun. It was like, I have to do these things. These things are important. And I had friends that came to the show, and which is great and stupendous. But that also kind of puts my brain over here a little bit, because then I, you know, I want to talk to them and I want to see them and I want to thank them for coming out and I want to hang out. And then like a lot of comedians came out. It was so amazingly sweet that all these people came out to support me, which is so nice. And so I felt, you know, like not obliged, but I felt like, you know, I wanted to talk to them too. Like I honestly wanted to talk to them and I wanted to say hi and I wanted to give hugs and hang out and everything. But in the end too, I really wanted to focus on the night. So did you ever do that? Do you ever have that problem where there's just so much going on, so much stimulus, so much happening that like my brain gets fractured is what I like to say. And I feel like the older that I get, the more fractured my brain gets. I do a thing where I compartmentalize. What does that mean? That's how I'm able to have a 9-to-5 job where I have to go to an office and be office bumper car. And then I'm the dad, and so I'm dad bumper car. And then I'm the comedian, so I'm comedian bumper car. And then I do this podcast, so I'm bumper podcast bumper car. And then I do the dumb fellas, so I'm dumb fellas bumper car. And, you know, it's just on and on and on and on. And I'm kind of like a, if you give me a dinner plate, I want my peas over here, I want my potatoes over here, and I want my chicken over here, and I want my salad probably in another bowl, because salad goes crazy when it's on a plate and it's going to start touching everything, and I would rather you not, salad. I'm also going to want maybe a little plate for my roll, because I don't want the roll to get in with all that pea, you know, juice. I don't want it to get potatoes on it, you know? I want my roll to be pristine. So what I'm saying is, I like things to stay in their lane. And then when things start to mix together, it kind of, my brain gets kind of confused and kind of exasperated at the conflation. That's what I'm trying to say. And that happened a little bit that night. And I'm trying to think of other, like, it's just been so busy. But it was a fun night, and everyone seemed like they had a blast. And, like, it was just one of those nights where, like, there were so many of my friends there. And everyone was having good sets. Like, they were up there telling their jokes, and, like, people seemed to enjoy them. And they were having fun, and they were connecting with the crowd. And so, like, it was amazing. And on top of that, so then we move away from that. So we did that show. I get to go do a show in the city tomorrow, which is exciting because I love going to the city to tell jokes. I don't get to do it nearly enough, and that's fine. And then I've got a lot of shows coming up, which is fun, and it makes me so happy. I'm also, so on the Girls Gone Green podcast, they were like, why don't you make books? Why aren't you making kids books? This seems like something you should be doing all the time. And they're not the first people to tell me that. Like it's been kind of a drumbeat in my head that happens constantly. Hey, why aren't you making books? You should be making books. Do you make books? Why aren't you making books? You should be making books. I'm just like, I know, I've written some books. And I actually sent some books to a friend of mine who is a writer. And she's like, hey, here's some notes. And so like, I have to go through those notes now, which is nice. But I don't know if I'm afraid of making books when I make things, I'm very intuitive. So what that means is I just kind of go off of however my brain feels. It's like, I'm going to do this, and then I do it, and then it's done. But then a weird thing happens. If I start getting feedback, or if I start getting like input, then my brain doesn't always know how to deal with that stuff. And so how to parse like whatever information people are giving me. And so I get kind of wonky, nervous, whatever. And then it kind of shuts down. And then I move on to something else. So I'm like, come on, brain, let's finish these things. Like if we have I do a lot of work and then I'll just drop and I'll move to the next thing. And that's not a good way to do things, right? If You got to stick with things all the way through to the end. And then learn from whatever you did. And if you made mistakes, learn from the mistakes. And if you did it super perfect right, then good for you. You did it super perfect right, right? Right. So, on The Girls Gone Green, they were asking me all about the books, and they challenged me, and I don't remember the exact date, but it's like September 17th or September 25th or something like that. They were like, well, the next time you come in, you're going to have a book written. And I was like, oh, okay, right? And now we're at August, so we're a month and a half away, and I don't know what to do. I don't know what to write. Like, and so then you give me like this deadline, and then like writer's block starts to kick in, and I'm like, come on, brain. And then there's been other stuff. There's been life stuff that I don't even want to talk about, miserable life stuff that has taken my brain and taken some of my focus. But it's good. It's fun. I like having this deadline because it gives me something to work towards. So fingers crossed that I will keep you guys posted on how things are going with book. What book is it? I don't know. I have some books written, but I want to do something different for this. Right? Maybe? Anyway, back to the stresses of life. Have you guys been stressed? It's summer. Why? Why have you been stressed? You shouldn't. It's a beautiful world out there. Me, I have. And I can't really talk about this stuff, but it's okay. I'm okay. I'm all right. Right? Right. But sometimes I do feel like... So here's my analogy. My analogy is that my brain is like a rubber band, right? Here's your brain. And it's not just your brain. This is your entire being. You're a rubber band. So that means you're pliable. You have to be pliable in this world, right? So you have to have a little bit of give, a little bit of rubber band bounce, right? But I feel like every time there's a stress or there's a trauma, my rubber band gets really snapped, really pulled a lot. And it's to the point where, in a way, my rubber band is starting to lose some of its elasticity. And it's not bouncing back as much as it used to. And I'm cognizant of this. I understand what's happening. But what I have to do, it's good that I acknowledge that. But then I have to figure out, how do I make my rubber band stop snapping? How do I? Because I don't want my rubber band to break, because I don't know what happens then, right? And I appreciate you guys because you're amazing, and I hope you love the Bumper Podcast, and I've missed you, and take care of your rubber bands, people!